You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
For a Monday here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unesh, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Ben on the other side of the glass along with Isaac today as he's letting him know all about the ins and outs of what goes on the other side of the glass. Finding out how the sausage is made. Things like that. Isaac, the heir apparent to Ben. It's not apparent. He is. He's the heir to the throne on the other side. Boy, we're starting Monday off great, aren't we, Mark? Good afternoon, everyone. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Find them online at dupaco.com and learn how you could boost your financial well-being by going to that website at dupaco.com. Good show for you coming up. We'll talk about the latest news as far as what anyone knows about a certain tackle from Central Iowa that may or may not be going to a different school over the weekend, and we'll talk about that. The NFL weekend, it had its highs, it had its lows, and it had some great games, and we'll talk about that with you. Take a look at college basketball and a whole lot more. 319-366-1600 is the text line. That's our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. As we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. I hope you had a good weekend. Is your Christmas ready to go, shopping done, et cetera,
heading out after the show.
Are you?
For some last-minute items, and yeah.
Be a little careful. It is snowing outside.
It was fine coming in, and but maybe beware towards the end of the week. Good afternoon to you and everyone, Isaac, Ben.
You're not going to go home and watch the Myrtle Beach Bowl?
If I could, I would.
Okay. 21-0 Marshall with the lead over UConn right now. They have just over a minute remaining in the first half from where Coastal Carolina plays. It's their stadium. Mm-hmm. It's a Chanticleer stadium. And right now, it's been all Marshall as far as this game is concerned. We will tell you about the Emil's Hideaway pick six as well. Even though we have two games that are still on the docket for tomorrow, we already know our weekly champion. How about that? Which means somebody probably ran the table, Mark. And so far, so good. That is the case for a certain someone out there. And we will we'll let you know who that is coming up on the program here today. Again, 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you and the phone line as well as we take you through a Monday edition as holiday week is here, if you will, and happy holidays to everybody out there on this Monday, December the 19th. And let's get right to it. It's making national headlines, Mark, because the rumors are out there on most of the major national websites as well. Of course, Wednesday is signing day as far as college football is concerned, and we are hearing not only locally but around the country all sorts of players that are flipping, as they say, from one commitment to another at the 23rd hour, if you will. And that includes someone possibly who is right now slated to take his talents to Iowa City and the University of Iowa. That is the nation's number one tackle out of Southeast Polk, Caden Proctor. All sorts of speculation coming out yesterday. That Proctor has not announced anything, but that he will flip his commitment from Iowa to Nick Saban and Alabama. That seems to be the hot-button topic today.
Well, that's the chatter anyway. And Proctor in Tuscaloosa over the weekend. And ever since then, it's been, frequent and a chatter about whether Proctor will flip to Alabama. And I had a little bit of interaction last night on Twitter with people who think they know.
Well, my brother's barber's girlfriend's son, who is going to school at a school 30 miles away, said, yeah, he's going to Alabama.
Well, you pick one side or the other, you get a 50% chance of winning. But nothing official on Caden Proctor. A lot of folks checking his Twitter feed. But nothing official on whether Proctor will honor his commitment or maybe seek... Oregon was in last week as well.
Yep.
But most of the talk is about Alabama. And to me, I mean, it's not a kid anymore. He's a man if he's deciding on $1 million versus $200,000, if you get what I mean. If Caden Proctor decides that's a better opportunity, so be it. I think, rightfully so, it's comparable to the Ross Pierce Baker situation. Remember in the mid-2010s, 2015, 14, 15, I think it was January of 14, Pierce Baker, out of Cedar Falls, decommitted from Iowa and committed to Alabama. And it turned out pretty well for him. They won national championships at Alabama. He was a fifth-round draft pick in the NFL. He's still playing for the Detroit Lions.
The red-hot Detroit Lions. We'll get to that.
You know what? Iowa survived without Ross Pierce Baker. Look it up. Iowa was 37-16 during Pierce Baker's career at Alabama. Now, Iowa didn't win national championships as Pierce Baker did. But maybe not... Maybe Iowa would not have won a national title with him. My point is that one player doesn't make a team. On the other hand, you don't want to lose the number one prospect in the country at a certain position when he's 2 miles to the west and he's already committed. I mean, this isn't like asking a woman to marry you and then decommitting 2 weeks later.
Although it has happened.
It has happened. But people getting really worked up about this, and I, for one, am not.
This coming out, and by the way, if you'd like to comment, 319-366-1600. This coming out basically has its genesis from tweets put out by the proprietor, if you will, of the Swarm NIL, believe from a personal account. Again, Proctor hasn't said anything. He doesn't have to say anything at this point.
I looked it up last night. The guy hadn't tweeted in a couple days.
Right.
But yet an intermediary that I was talking with, asking who his source was, and it's from this Brian character. All right, maybe you know each other. Maybe Brian knows... a bit of something, I don't know. But
and then it came down to, okay, it's all because his family wants the extra money. And that might be the case. I don't know. But we're going to find out on Wednesday, I guess. Probably bright and early in the morning. Wednesday should be very interesting around the country. As that is one of the top storylines, Deion Sanders also creating waves and stirs around the country because he is trying to get people to flip from their original commitments to Colorado. We shall see. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And
are you more worried about Caden Proctor flipping his commitment or the storm that's coming in on Thursday?
We've survived both, right? if you will. Yeah, NIL has said he has already texted the Iowa coaching staff. He is slated to get $2+ million over a year and a half. Could be the case. I don't know. There's one person that knows, and that's Caden Proctor.
Who's saying this?
The proprietor of the NIL down in Iowa City. That was where this all started and originated from. Here's my question to our listeners out there today on this Monday, December the 19th. And love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Let's take Caden Proctor completely out of this equation. This has been going on for a long, long time, Mark. I mean, you've covered recruiting at Iowa and Iowa State. There have been people that have flipped for whatever reason, and you can go into details on what that might be. And this has been going on for 40 years, to be brutally honest with you. And it's not going to stop. Now, I ask the question of the folks out there listening. Let's put the shoe on the other foot right now. What happens if this is Iowa getting someone to flip their commitment? A four-star or maybe even a five-star. Who knows? Iowa doesn't get a chance to get a lot of five-stars. Same thing with Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Do you still feel the same way if you are on the receiving end of a wonderful holiday present like this?
Probably not, because Proctor is the number one offensive tackle in the country. And Iowa hasn't got any number ones to flip. Right?
Not that I'm aware of. But they have flipped people that have ended up being very good players. Last one that I, well, two that I can recall right out of the chute, Josie Jewell and Sean Beyer. Both were not slated to go to Iowa. Ended up in Iowa City and did quite well. Now, that was pre-NIL. It's a lot easier now, and this is what the Washington State football coach talked about before his bowl game. Which they got trounced, by the way. Somebody picked Washington State. I don't know who it was between you and me, Mark. Fran McCaffrey talked about it last news conference, last week, that who could see this coming? Now, he's obviously in basketball. It's a little bit different basketball than football. But it's the same principles being involved here. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And get to a few texts here. Our friend Matt in Fairfax: if you accepted a job opening and a week later another company of greater stature offered you the same job with more pay, why is it so awful to take the newer offer? I would agree, right? Although you're going to make somebody very unhappy that put a lot of time and effort into bringing you on board. But if coaches can do it, can't players do it, Mark?
I suppose, and I apologize, it's Brad who's the head of Swarm, the nonprofit working with the University of Iowa and its student athletes, not Brian. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
But I would agree with you.
Yeah. 9843 lets us know all's fair in war and money. Used to be love and war, Mark. Love has been replaced by money. Thank you, 9843, for that, making me smile today on this Monday. This is not going to be the only one if it indeed happens. And as I mentioned, we will not know until signing on the dotted line. And it could very well happen. And to your point, Mark, will Iowa football continue to survive? Yes, it's going to survive. It's just this is the way of the world now until the NCAA or an entity to be announced comes up and does something about NIL. Millions and millions. It will be billions someday. Trust me on that. Paying of athletes to come to your school for 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case may be, and play football. It's going to get worse before it gets better unless this is regulated.
And that's not something the government wants to get into. In fact, I think it wants to be as hands-off as possible, but it has to be regulated somehow, some way. in my opinion. And I don't know where these tweets are coming from. I'm looking up the Swarm. I'm looking up Bradley Heinrichs, who's the head of the CEO of the Swarm Collective. There's no tweets out there.
Somebody saw one. Somewhere.
Why can't I see him?
Oh, man. Andy says the only difference now is that the money is sitting on the table instead of underneath it. Amen, Andy.
That's very true. We talked about Pierce Baker in 2014, January 2014. The NIL didn't exist, but the texter's quite right. It's now on the table instead of below it.
Very true. Very true. Matt in Cedar Rapids. This is what happens when fans put stock in 18-year-olds' decisions. I don't blame any of them. It is their life, after all. And you cannot blame, if Caden Proctor indeed on Wednesday has his little hat dance and he selects the Alabama hat, you cannot blame the young man for doing that. No matter what kind of money he is getting from the NIL down in Tuscaloosa, you got a chance to go play for Alabama. That's a real opportunity. And, yeah, it's going to sting as far as Iowa football is concerned, but they will survive. They will survive. 8077, can NIL contract be longer than 1 year or 1 year at a time? I'd imagine the contracts are all different. There's no standard stock NIL contract that each person signs. It's based on your own individual performances down there or performances to be. They don't just hand them out like Pez. Or maybe they do. 321 here in the Gym Class program on KGYM as we talk NIL and what Caden is going to do on Wednesday a little bit. And
if he does anything.
Yeah, he could choose not to sign on Wednesday. I do think he will. Most, pretty much now, it's 85% sign in this first signing date. And, yeah, I really think that is going to be the case, and that is what is going to happen. And, wow, going to get really interesting, really, really interesting. And that would be Alabama right now is putting together – a recruiting class that is, even for Alabama, I read, second to none. Now, keep in mind, doesn't necessarily mean that all these players are going to pan out. They're all going to be fantastic. But when you add about 10 5-stars, chances are you're going to hit with some of them, right? And bully for Alabama, I guess. And apparently Deion Sanders is doing quite well, too, on getting people to...
Well, Sanders offered Proctor.
Come to Boulder. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. Now, yes, he did, but how serious an offer it was?
Serious enough that Proctor tweeted about it.
Well, if I got an offer from Deion Sanders, I'd tweet about it.
It's December 5th. Blessed to have received another offer from the University of Colorado. Caden Proctor.
There he is. There he is. 319-366-1600 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark, as we take you through this Monday edition of the show. Tom Cakert's going to join us coming up tomorrow, and we'll have a lot of things to discuss with Tom coming up on that visit. We'll also have KJ Pilcher coming up tomorrow, and we'll wrap up high school wrestling and college wrestling for the 2022 portion of the 22-23 season. And then Chris List, answer your fantasy football questions, along with Mark Ironside on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. As we get back into some college basketball, we will talk about college basketball here in just a little bit, as well as some NFL, because it was a fun NFL weekend. Whether you were on the good side of things or the bad side of things, it was a wild ride throughout the weekend, starting on Saturday.
It was crazy. Love you, man, Cedar Rapids. Dion offered me, and I'm 52.
you're spry, man.
You must have game, man.
He's got game, no doubt. All right, 324 coming up on 325. Let's take a break and get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. They're next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. And you can find them online at emilshideaway.com. Eat local, try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. Or wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. Bring the whole family for friendly service in the dining area. That's at Emil's Hideaway. What's on the scoreboard?
Speaking of flipping, Scott, Iowa flipped a recruit.
What?
From Eastern Illinois. Not Alabama, Eastern Illinois. His name is Tegan Davis with a T. He's a multi-sport athlete out of Princeton, Illinois. Has decided he will join the Iowa football program. 6'2", 175, projected as a defensive back. He is also Illinois' state high jump champ. Very good all-around athlete. In the department of I'm not going to play in the bowl game, Iowa's Kayvon Merriweather, defensive back, has decided not to participate in the Music City Bowl. Prepare for the NFL draft. Also, Bijan Johnson, one of the greatest running backs in Texas history, has opted out of the Alamo Bowl. That game, Texas versus Washington, Bijan Robinson will not play.
He's going to get ready for the NFL draft as well. Before we get to a break here, let's go to the phones and here at 3:26 and bring in our caller here. And good afternoon. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Of course, adults should not go after student-athletes on Twitter. It's totally wrong. And you have to understand they're under a lot of pressure. But one thing I thought was interesting, Cooper Manning, when his son was going through the process, decided to not tweet out offers on Twitter because he thought it would put more pressure on him. And if you think back to some of these announcements like Harrison Barnes, Rafe LaFrenz, you think that some of these student-athletes might benefit from some help on how to handle those situations because they are put under a lot of pressure.
I would agree. Well, obviously there wasn't when Rafe was there and others, you didn't have Twitter and all that. But boy, thinking back to when Rafe was making his announcement, that was a different sort of pressure. And there were still the rumors circulating. It turned out to be true, obviously, back then. But I think you may make a very good point. I think you make a very good point, but boy, I don't know in 2022, 2023 coming up, how many kids are not going to go out on Twitter and talk about all of the offers that they have received. That's going to be hard.
The point about adults attacking maybe or tweeting things at recruits or their families, I agree with the caller. It's just plain wrong. And I think social media drives a lot of this. I remember when I was covering Kennedy basketball and your classmate, Al Lorenzen, McDonald's All-America.
Yep.
There was no Twitter.
All there was coaches lined up at the Y downtown.
Exactly. Many, many of them, I was privileged to break the story, he was going to go to Iowa. You developed a relationship with players and their families and whatnot. But it was so much different back then because there was no social media. And now look at today. It's what we're talking about. People throwing out information, whether it's sourced or not, about Caden Proctor. He just got back from Alabama. Loved his visit. On and on and on. Is he going to flip? Is he not? Does anyone really know besides Proctor himself?
Nope. Or his family. 319-366-1600, 0459. Adding, could part of Caden's decision be because of how poorly Iowa's offense played this year? No idea.
Follow the money.
No idea if that played a part in it or not right here. As we get closer and closer to Iowa and Kentucky, by the way, there's a bowl game coming up, Mark. The Music City Bowl, and we're going to hear from head coach Kirk Ferentz at some point here. And, of course, Coach's Cutch is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions with Alex and Todd on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And they are online at ncsei.com. Contact them for a free quote on office security. Take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the National Football League and the weird weekend in the NFL when we return after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have a cloudy and chilly day. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 20s, and we will have the chance for some flurries this afternoon. We'll have more snow as we head into this evening, and accumulation will be minor, around a half an inch or less. As we head through the night, the clouds will clear, temperatures drop to around 20 degrees. Tomorrow, the sun comes back out with temperatures in the mid 20s. Then on Wednesday, clouds build back in ahead of a powerful winter storm that will lead to difficult travel in the Midwest through the end of the week. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Santa Barkley is coming to town, and he's delivering $20 million in gifts this holiday season to all FanDuel customers. It doesn't matter if you've been naughty or nice, St. Chuck has something for everyone. Just check your FanDuel app for no-sweat same-game parlays, bonuses, and all sorts of stuff that will fill your holiday with cheer. New to FanDuel? Now is the perfect time to sign up, and remember to use promo code COON. The app is easy to use, they're always hooking you up with great promotions, and when you win, you'll get paid instantly. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook, and get in the holiday spirit with $20 million in gifts from Santa Barkley. 21 plus and present in Iowa, prize total dependent on customer participation, wager requirements apply, gifts awarded as non-withdrawable site credit or free bets. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's almost that time of year again. What time is that, Clayton? Christmas time, you silly goose. It's our Love Local Sale. You got it, Joe. We have fantastic deals on everything from diamond studs to engagement rings. Are we still giving away those big TVs? You bet your sweet bippy. We got 65-inch TVs, Apple AirPods, Nelson Meat Market gift cards, and more. Till Christmas, it's our Love Local Sale. Come see us at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers on the corner of Collins Road and First Ave. Siepke Hoyt Jewelers, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Midwest One believed in us and gave us the money to get started, and it was great.
We're talking with Jack Piper of Jimmy Jack's Rib Shack.
In 2005, they were there when we opened Jimmy Jack's Rib Shack. They've been there every step of the way with funding and great feedback on how to expand our brand. Midwest One Bank has been great, and with the recent uncertain times, we got through it. Thanks to Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back on the Gym Class for a Monday here on KGYM. It is 3:33. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. Take your time out there. A little bit of light snow in the metro area out there. Nothing really to write home about, but still, please give yourself a little extra time and a little extra braking room and space here on your commute home. Been talking about NIL, Caden Proctor, et cetera, et cetera. Darren says, whatever his choice is, I hope all the best, but my point of view would be, do I want to be a five-star fish with a bunch of five-star fishes? Or do I want to be, can you read this, Mark? I'm confused by this.
Yeah, the completion of that is just above.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, or do I want to be a five-star fish with a bunch of three and two-star fishes and be a star? Because as soon as he gets to Alabama, Saban going to forget his name. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know Nick Saban. I don't know how he treats people down there. I can't imagine he's going to forget him because he's bigger than a lot of people down there.
It's hard to miss.
He's hard to miss. He's a big dude. He is a big dude. We've been talking a lot about the Proctor situation here. I want to get to the NFL as well because what a weekend it was, starting off with Saturday. And if you are a Minnesota Viking fan, truthfully now, truthfully, if you were a Viking fan, did you give up? Did you give up when it was 33-0 out there? Or based on what the Vikings have done this year, did you say, oh, yeah, we got this. No problem. Even though it was 33-0 at one point. And then the Vikings came back. Now, the Colts helped, Mark, in a big way. And some very questionable things that Indianapolis did. But give Minnesota credit. They came back. They are now 10-0 in one-score games, which is absolutely crazy in NFL football.
Well, Jeff Saturday sealed his fate with Indianapolis, didn't he?
He should.
33-0, and it's just proof that no game in the NFL, maybe even college, I should say, is never over until it is. And that started the wacky weekend on Saturday. Vikings down 33-0 and coming back to win on a field goal. And 12 out of the 15 games this particular week, and we've got one game left this week in the NFL. But 12 out of 15 so far decided by one score. And we seemingly see a lot of this week in and week out in the NFL. Why? I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But look at the Buccaneers and the Bengals yesterday. The Bucs look like world beaters in the first half, up 17 points. And Burrow put a knot on their head in the second half. And the Bucs helped.
Bucs helped a lot.
Helped a lot. Four turnovers at least. And then the bonehead play in the Patriots and Raiders game. What stunned you more? The Vikings coming back or that bonehead play in the Raiders and Patriots? How could Bill Belichick let that happen? Why are you trying to win a game on a goofy lateral series at the end of regulation and take it to overtime or throw it in the end zone? Do something besides that.
That was the biggest gaffe I think I've seen as far as the end of an NFL game is concerned. What do you think? 319-366-1600. By the way, Matt, thank you very much for being totally transparent and totally truthful. Matt says, yep, he gave up. Darren says, I went in to start watching the Kirkwood women's basketball game when it was 13-0. And when I came out, they were within 14. So thank you for your truth and honesty as far as did you give up on the Vikings is concerned. That, at the end of yesterday's game with the Patriots and the Raiders, was just uncanny. And just, you can't explain it. The call by Jason Horowitz, who does Raider games now, is amazing. The call on television was amazing as well. Everyone was stunned. Just, bah! What happened? You throw it back. Oh, fine. You get a lateral. I can see that. But you don't do that and try to. Oh, man. You didn't see the one guy that could beat you right there. And, I mean, that the Patriots now 7-7. That really hurts their chances. They had limited chances anyway to get into the playoffs, but they're in bad shape right now. And the Raiders are still hanging in there at 6-8 by virtue of a gift, an absolute gift. Because if that did not happen, people would be talking again about McDaniel giving away yet another game where the Raiders had a double-digit lead. Mm-hmm. which they did. And the Patriots came back and should have taken that game into overtime. Would they have won? No. By the way, we have breaking news. As far as the National Football League is concerned, apparently the Eagles have informed everyone that Jalen Hurts has a shoulder sprain suffered in the win over the Bears, your Bears yesterday, which put up a good fight, Mark, against the number one team record-wise in the NFL. His status for Saturday's game, remember, the Cowboys and the Eagles is a Saturday game. His status apparently is up in the air at this point. That just coming down. That was the red flash on the bottom of the ESPN screen. It's a big game, though.
Yeah, it'd be a big loss. And I remember him being asked after the game yesterday about his shoulder, and he didn't seem all too concerned about it. But as far as the Patriots, and I meant to check out Belichick's news conference today. He usually has one on Monday. Yeah, it's football.
I was busy.
That's football.
I did not have a chance. Jeff says it's the year for the Purple People Eaters. It might be. Minnesota keeps winning games like that. It might be the Vikings' year. We'll see. And yes, 1960. How about my Lions still winning? There you go. And he went to Emil's this week, used the card. Food was great.
Excellent.
There you go. Thank you, 1960, for the proclamation there about Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, one of our great sponsors here of the Gym Class program on KGYM at 341. So you got one more game tonight. It's the Rams and the Packers. We'll join up tonight after the Cyclone Coaches Show at 8 o'clock. It's not a beauty, let's face it. Better next Sunday night. I'm not sure if there are NFL rules on exactly why there are games on Saturday and Saturday next week for the most part, but because it is Christmas Day next Sunday, so it's an NFL Saturday, if you will. But oh Lord, Buccaneers Cardinals next Sunday night does not warm your inner being as far as National Football League games. That could be Trace McSorley, by the way, your quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals under center.
Well, in the beginning of the season, it looked good. Tom Brady against Kyler Murray, beginning of the year.
Does Tom Brady, do you look just disinterested in anything going on right now?
He did in the first half yesterday. Or the second half, I'm sorry.
I think he did for most of the game. It just does not look. The Chargers and the Colts are next Monday night, by the way. Not a whole lot better. Yeah, keep in mind, there are Saturday games, most of the slate. The Jets will host the Jaguars. That'll be coming up on Thursday Night Football of this week. But, yeah, that game between the Raiders and what the Vikings did, your Cowboys go down to defeat at Jacksonville in overtime on a deflected pass that was intercepted and ran back for a touchdown. Eagles almost lost. My Chiefs almost lost, sleepwalking through Houston yesterday. You can't take anything for granted in the National Football League.
You really can't. At any point in the game.
Nope. You just can't, because they're professionals. And I tip my hat to Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans for coming out, and they played Dallas hard the week before. They played the Chiefs hard on Sunday. And, yeah, I mean.
Now you're getting into a situation where I think, what, five or six teams have clinched playoff berths?
Correct.
And how much? I mean, you still have, what, three games left in the regular season for most teams? How much are the starters going to play? I look at the Bears and the Bills this week. You know, how much time is the starters going to get? I think they'll play, but different teams might handle that differently. I don't know.
In the AFC, you have Buffalo and Kansas City have clinched so far. That is the AFC. In the NFC right now, Philadelphia, Minnesota, San Francisco, and Dallas have all clinched. Dallas by virtue of Washington losing last night. We'll get to Sunday Night Football here in just a moment. So only 4 of the 7 spots are taken as far as the NFC is concerned. Washington, by virtue of that tie, stays ahead of the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions, by the way. Packers have to win out and get a lot of help. We know that. Carolina still has a chance because they are in the woeful NFC South, where Tampa Bay is your leader right now at 6-8. Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta all at 5-9. I guess that's fun. I don't know. Is it? To me, it's not. But
I'm really rooting for the Lions. And I do know they still play the Bears at home in the next to last game. Wouldn't it be great if the Lions clinched a playoff berth last game of the year at Green Bay? I mean, that would be so much fun. For me.
For you.
For me.
And Lions fans out there. Right now, let's play the if the playoffs started today. In the AFC, Buffalo is the number one seed. Bills still have to go to Cincinnati, though. Keep that in mind. Chiefs number 2, Bengals at 3, Tennessee 4. Tennessee's trying to hold off Jacksonville, the suddenly resurgent red hot Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Good story there, too.
Good story right there. Baltimore 5, the Chargers are 6, and Miami 7 right now. New England and the Jets are right behind there as far as the AFC is concerned. NFC Philly is number 1. Philly took a big step into clinching the NFC East, the best division in football. If I hear that one more time from NBC. The Eagles, 13-1. Vikings right now, the 2. 49ers, the 3. Tampa is the 4, even though they are 6-8. With Dallas, the Giants, and the Commanders, 5, 6, and 7. So right now, Dallas would go to Tampa. Pretty much, it's going to be Dallas going to whoever wins the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
That will be, for the most, that's about a 75% possibility right now. Giants and the 49ers, Commanders and the Vikings. In the AFC, it would be the Dolphins at Kansas City right now, the Chargers at Cincinnati, and Baltimore at Tennessee right now. Some interesting games, but a lot of football yet to be played. Vikings can help the Lions out by beating the Giants this weekend on the text line. Yes, they could.
And the Lions would help themselves by winning at Carolina.
Very much so. Very much so. Lions probably have to win out or 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 at the very least. And then they have to get some help.
They've won 6 of the last 7. I don't see why not.
First time in a long time, too, that Detroit has won 6 out of 7, especially late in the year. Great story is Campbell and the Detroit Lions. 319-366-1600 coming up on 348. Before we get a break, let's talk about Sunday Night Football last night because there were some controversial plays. Hey, the referees are in the news. That's hard to believe. A couple things from last night's game. Number one, a pass interference call that was about as plain as day, which was missed. And then at the end of the ball game, the Terry McLaurin asking the official, you know, you see it at every level. You know, you point at the official, and more often than not, he will give you the head bob or the, yeah, okay, thumbs up, whatever the case may be, that you are in a spot you need to be in. He thought he got that when he lined up. He lined up illegally, though. And now the refereeing crew, the world, is going sideways because of the fact that this official was just waiting to throw the flag, and he was going to get him. Now, knowing the amount of officials that I know and seeing what they had to say and talking with a few of them today, they have told me that they do not always give that signal, that sometimes they're giving a signal to other members of their crew.
What, that you're on the line of scrimmage or
you're off
not?
The line of scrimmage.
Okay.
You know where you need to line up, right? As a wide receiver, you better know in that formation where you need to line up. If you need to be on the line or if you need to be off the line so you're not covering a guy to your left or right. And, you know, it might have been one of those situations that he was not responding to the wide receiver when the wideout asked, am I on the line of scrimmage? Hey, I'm the first one to say NFL officiating is not any good. But it's a hard job, and it is a tough game to officiate. It is. If you think you can do better, sign on up.
It is. Two things make it less easy for officials, I should say. And two things. Number one is replay. And number two, 75 to 80% of every incomplete pass is complained about either by the quarterback or the wide receiver. They're pointing, yeah, that was interference. They're, you know, waving their arm up and down like there should have been a flag. That puts more pressure on the officials as well. I've come to accept it.
What
games
bothers
are officiated, me? officiated different. You and I were talking about yesterday a lot of penalties in the Chiefs game. Some bogus, some not.
Carl Sheffers.
And then I'm watching the Bears game and Eagles. Very few penalties.
Yeah.
Very few.
What I don't get is the explanation. Okay, one week, the same play that happened the prior week has a different explanation by, you know, Gene Steratore or Dean Blandino or whatever. No. You told me last week that this is why this was called. So now they're not doing that. Oh, it's something else this week that, well, he hit him with the foot, and so that supersedes anything that was done earlier on in the contact that was made between the two players, as an example. It's just that's what's so frustrating about it. That's what's very frustrating about it. 319-366-1600. Quarterbacks do the same thing, Mark, every time someone touches them. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. You want to know how these quarterbacks are all getting out of these potential sacks? Number one, because the defensive player knows that if he hits him hard, he's going to get a penalty. So you hit him, you let up, you hit him at half speed, and these quarterbacks are big enough now they can get out of there. That's why you don't see nearly as many sacks as you used to. And Ralph is absolutely right. Every time a quarterback is hit, basically, they're asking for a roughing the passer.
Yeah, I'm looking at Brady yesterday afternoon. He got sacked or nearly got sacked. I think it was a nearly got sacked. And it wasn't a late hit by the defensive player, but the first reaction for Brady, looking back at the official.
Yep.
With his arm up.
What am I doing? Oh, crazy. Crazy. Sign up to be an official. If you think you could do better. 319-366-1600, 353. We'll take a break, come back. A little college basketball for you before we depart here on a Monday. We'll talk about it after this here on KGYM.
I need to get serious about my health and work on lowering my cholesterol.
I want to focus on my mental health and overall health, too. But who can watch my kids?
Join the MAC now and pay no dues until 2023.
Access daycare,
a women's only workout area,
recovery massage room,
24/7 facilities, and more.
Plus, over $1 million in updates.
With a basketball court,
saunas,
lap pool,
and hot tub.
Join now at jointhe-mac.com and pay no dues until 2023. Act now. Offer ends soon. The MAC, a place for every body.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600 here at 354. Thank you for joining us. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cyclone Coaches Show from 6:30 until 8. We'll join up with the Packers and the Rams Monday Night Football coming up this evening here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. 4010, reiterating your point, Mark. Did you notice every time Brady got hit yesterday, he looked up at the official like there should have been a flag? I'm pretty sure that at the beginning of the season he would have gotten a flag on a couple of the hits he took last night. His look at the official was like, do you know who I am? when you get pulled over
ding
by a friendly policeman,
mm-hmm.
Do you know who I am? I've never done that, by the way. Never. College basketball. Conference play will begin in earnest coming up next week. This is what I call after Saturday, which was a great, great menu of college basketball games.
Too much going on Saturday.
There was a ton going on Saturday, but there were some really good games. Iowa Southeast Missouri State was probably not among them, but great game by Philip Rabracha.
He was named today Big Ten Player of the Week.
As well he should have been.
Yeah.
As well as he should have been. He was terrific against SEMO on Saturday night. Iowa State with a win over Western Michigan. Bowen Bourne had a big game for UNI as they got a victory yesterday as well. Iowa and Eastern Illinois will come up on Wednesday night. That will be down at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Purdue is still number one, followed by UConn, Houston, Kansas, and Arizona in the latest top 25 poll. If you're into things like this, Iowa State and Iowa both receive votes this week. In fact, they are right next to each other in the receiving votes category as far as the top 25 is concerned. Arizona State into the top 25 for the first time in a long time. They are 11-1. On the year for the Sun Devils. Not played a really tough schedule, but they tell you a team I like is Marquette. I want to get Kevin Lehman's thoughts about Marquette coming up and Shaka Smart on Thursday.
Houston with a big win, and then the demise of North Carolina, maybe not so fast, my friends.
No.
They beat Ohio State over the weekend.
Iowa women are 13th. Iowa State women are 14th. Maryland is 15th. How about that for bang, 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 as far as local interest is concerned? In the women's college basketball poll, South Carolina is a unanimous number one. Ohio State is third. Indiana is number four. So some flavor right there. And in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, it is 28-0 Marshall beating UConn right now about midway through the third quarter. Todd and Alex coming up next, and we will be back with you tomorrow as Tom Cakert will join us. We'll get the latest to maybe on recruiting, NIL, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about all that and the Music City Bowl with Tom, a little basketball as well. And we will talk with KJ Pilcher coming up tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class as well. And I got Marion hosting Waverly Shellrock tonight at 7:15, boys basketball on CRM Live Sports. We'll be out there tonight. Tune in at 7:15. Mark, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
With other lenders, it can feel like they're calling the wrong plays, not cross-country mortgage. They're the masterminds behind perfect play calling. Go with them and your home loan experience will end in a victory parade in your new neighborhood. You're the perfect free agent to sign with the best loan originators in the game. And Cross Country Mortgage is dedicated to getting it done. Reach out today at ccm.com. That's ccm.com.
Equal housing.